John Lawrence, pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church, will now lead us as we pray.
May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we assemble ourselves today in thy presence, we thank thee for all of the blessings which are ours because of thy love. We thank thee, O Father, for life, for strength, for salvation. And we pray, O Father, that this morning, as we unite our hearts in worship together, that thou would send thy Holy Spirit upon us, that our hearts might be warmed, that our lives might be cleansed, that we might be drawn into a very close relationship with thee. We thank thee, O Father, for this blessed season, which is now approaching. We thank thee, O God, for the beauty of Christmas. We thank thee, O Father, for the Savior who came into the world so many years ago, but who is alive today and who claims our total commitment. Help us in this hour, O God, to commit ourselves completely unto the Savior whose birthday it is. Bless the speaker. Use him as an instrument of mighty power. May the message that he brings cut through into our hearts, that we might be purged and made completely thine. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray this prayer. Amen.
Our responsive reading is number 79, entitled Christian Influence. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man liveth to himself.
For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Let not then your good be evil spoken of.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
For he that in these things serve Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This morning we are quite privileged to have the chapel service devoted to the Student Coordinating Council, and since the council left this service up to the devotional chairman, I thought it very well that we have one of our devotional leaders on the campus to speak to us this morning. Our speaker this morning is Ben Calhoun, and he has been recognized as a devotional leader, especially in the life of our dormitory people at the seminary. Not only is a leader in discussion groups and prayer groups, but he's really a Christian influence in the whole seminary campus. Ben is a native of South Carolina, an honor graduate of the University of South Carolina. He's a veteran of the Korean conflict. He has been a former auditor before coming to seminary. He also has participated in the SCC Extension Committee activities. Last year, he tutored in the DuBois School, and this year, he's in charge of our ministry at the Wake Forest Rest Home. He's done a considerable amount of itinerant preaching in churches of many different denominations in the state. He has ministered especially to our National Baptist brethren. And the National Baptists have invited him to speak at a good number of their meetings. And just a few weeks ago, he spoke to over 1,000 of our National Baptist brethren in Baltimore, Maryland. We're also fortunate this morning to have two friends of our speaker on our platform. Reverend John Lawrence from Forest Hills Baptist Church, newly elected president of the state convention, and Reverend Carey from Neuse Baptist Church, just down the road from us here on Route 1. Before Ben speaks, we're going to have Greer Wood sing us a special number.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will just let us think Thy thoughts and meditate upon Thy words during these next few minutes. May each of us come to know Thee more clearly and more definitely. May there be a power in our lives as a result of our having worshiped here this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, dear God, be acceptable in Thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, we read something about, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith is it salt? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Here we have an example of Jesus as he was talking to his disciples and perhaps to some of his would-be disciples. Jesus, you know, has just been talking to the peacemakers and to the poor in spirit and to those who have been persecuted and to the meek and lowly. I hope this morning that this message will perhaps ring a bell in your heart as spiritual leaders in the church where you pastor, or in the community or home where you live. You know that we as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or as disciples, are truly compared to salt in Jesus' word. Now, what are some of the functions of salt? And then, what are some of the functions that we have as Christians? As the redeemed people of God, do we have any responsibility in the community or in the church? What about your ability to think ahead of people in the congregation, to perhaps exhort them to more abundant living in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you given this much consideration? For the next few minutes, let's focus our attention upon the Christian in society, the church alive and alert, faith expressed in Christian action. Ye are the salt of the earth. Could Christ have paid his disciples a better compliment than to call them salt or light? What are some of the functions of salt? We know that salt is a relish, it's a seasoning, and it makes food taste better. As a Christian, is life in the community or the school or in your working place better for others as a result of your having lived there? Do you add zest and zeal and excitement to life? Perhaps some of you are worried sometimes because there aren't very many Christians around, real deep, dedicated people. Well, salt, you know, is small, but a little bit goes a long way. And how wonderful it is for those of us who are Christians to see another fellow Christian and to perhaps let our lives become a little saturated with the love of Christ that person manifests. Now I would like for you to name some of the Christians who are truly salt that you know or that you have studied. Perhaps you would like to think of Billy Graham or maybe William Carey, the cobbler, who wanted to bring the gospel or the word of God to all the world. Or perhaps Greenfield and then Lubbock and how he tried to bring the dictionary aright to all the, so that all nations could understand. Perhaps you might mention your wife, who is truly a Christian and adds zest and flavor to your life as a Christian. We know that a lot of Christians are sort of like salt in that they seem to intermingle with others. They do not keep to themselves, but they are always going about trying to say something to that will manifest Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We know that salt in a jar will not do any good. It's hog killing weather in South Carolina, and we know that if we want some good hams this coming spring, that we have to use lots of salt on the meat. Last year we were saddened in my particular home because some of the hams were not properly salted and they were spoiled. And some of us could truly cry when you go to cut into a large ham and it is spoiled. Well, how much more perhaps do we as Christians bring tears into the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He sees that we are perhaps good for nothing, so to speak. We have lost our saltiness, our flavor for life. Then we have other examples that we need to follow, such as in a Sunday school class. As a teacher, you should try to bring about new ideas and so forth to make the class more interesting. A friend of mine teaches a class, and she was witnessing to an alcoholic, and she was able to get the person to turn from alcohol and to perhaps study the Bible with her. Well, a few Sundays ago, you remember in your Sunday school class, you were studying about the power of God. Well, this former alcoholic could not come to the Sunday school class to tell her testimony, but this teacher carried a record into her home and made a tape recording of her experience, of how God had helped her. And perhaps others who heard that class, in that class, this tape, will be anxious to go out and help people who have a problem. It's wonderful when we find Christian people whose heart is tempered with love, and they perhaps can correct any fault that you have by bringing a little bit of love and try to perhaps reprove, rebuke, and exhort you in a loving manner. And this is what we as Christian leaders and as teachers should try to do. Perhaps the Spirit of Christ can be in us so dynamically that we will be able to accomplish this. There is a story told of a young boy who joined a church, and soon after he joined the church, he went to his pastor, and he said, "I'm real sad and discouraged. I have become a Christian recently, and I've been invited to a party, but I understand Christians cannot have any fun." And the pastor told him that he should go to the party and have the best time of anyone there. A few days later, the question came to the pastor's mind as he met the small lad. "Did you attend the party?" And the lad said, "Yes, I did, and I had the best time of anyone there. No one suspected that I was a Christian." Now that is teaching in the wrong way. We should be able to go to parties that perhaps magnify our Savior. I had a wonderful experience in the First Baptist Church of Williston, South Carolina, in working with the young people. And when we had parties, we tried to have something that they could take away, sort of like apples in a basket. And at Christmas time, we gave a dramatic production on "No Room for Him in the Inn." And perhaps you could think along these lines. The guests we think about in Jerusalem, in Palestine, Bethlehem, that was a great hotel, and there was an executive suite on the top floor, and the telephone rings to the manager and said, "Do you have any room in the inn?" And he says, "Yes, I have one room, but I'm saving it for somebody. I just have a feeling that something wonderful is going to happen tonight." And they said, "Well, we have some peasants out here who want a carpenter and so forth, who want a place to stay." And he says, "Oh no, they cannot stay there. Let them stay in the stables." Now perhaps you and I would be quick to pass judgment on this innkeeper for not letting someone sleep in the best place, but had rather they stay in the stable. Well, Jesus is looking for a place to be born in this day and time, in your heart and in mine. He wants to come in a wonderful way and live out His love in our lives, to touch others and to flavor society. Perhaps this is a wonderful way for us to end this message this morning, is to think about, is there room in your heart for Jesus? Or is there no room? Perhaps you and I could truly make more room. Then as we think about society, we should think about it is the Christian's concern when the alcoholic problem comes in such a way that it takes the lives of our fellow people. We should speak out and do something to correct this. Or if narcotics are sold in the schools, or if some of our people have been denied their human rights. Perhaps those of you, or those of us who are real close to Jesus Christ, we can see how Dr. Martin Luther King saw that some people have been denied their human rights, and he gave his life trying to establish the love of Christ so that we might all love one another more and try to work for the good of all mankind. Now, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing, and it's to be thrown out and trodden under the feet of men. Here is a wonderful example of the realism of Christ. Perhaps it shocks you as you think about how true it is. In that day and time, the women did not have vacuum cleaners, and therefore all the trash was just swept out on the streets to be trodden under the feet of men. Then, too, we know that if we were to put salt in a field, it would make the field worthless. So we can only put unusable salt into the highway where the busy traffic, which doesn't notice anything, perhaps just travels over, and it makes a pretty hard surface. Here we see that salt that is good can direct us Godward, but if it is no good, it can direct us earthward. Dwight L. Moody inscribed or wrote into the Bible of one of his preacher's sons one day this quotation: "This book will keep you from your sins, or your sins will keep you from this book." Then, as a worship leader or as a Christian, what about your prayer life? I know that perhaps many of us have a wonderful prayer life, but what about teaching it to others? This lady down here called to my attention a few weeks ago of a wonderful way to teach people how to pray more effectively and perhaps how to maybe think more about prayer. And you do it this way, the praying hand. First of all, you use the thumb, which is closest to you, and you pray about the person who is very close to you, and that is self. Pray for yourself. Pray that you might truly be good salt in society, and that you might be relevant, that you might address yourselves to the world problems and so forth and do something that will bring about a correction. Then the finger that's pointing. Pray for those who point others to Christ. Pray for the seminary professors and the students and the faculty and everyone. Pray for all of the church officials, the deacons, and so forth. Then the tall finger. Pray for the tallest people that you know, your president, your governor, the city councilman, and so forth. And then the love finger, which is known as the ring finger. Perhaps there is a ring, so to speak, for all Christians. We are in the family of God. There's a bond about us. Pray for your family, your immediate family, and for all the people who are in your family, of your friendship circle. And then pray for the least and the last and the less fortunate. Pray for the lost. Then another way to teach people to pray, perhaps effectively, is the Monday through Sunday. Perhaps on Monday you would like to pray for the missionaries. On Tuesday you would like to express thanks to God for the answered prayer. And Wednesday, pray for all the workers, and Thursday, thank God for the task. Pray for the ability to carry out the task that you have been assigned. And Friday, pray for your family, which should include everyone. And Saturday, pray for the sinners and the saints. And Sunday, pray for the gospel services. At this time, we will have our closing song, "Just As I Am." If any of you would like to come down to the front and to express some type of decision, we will ask our preacher friends here, Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Carey, to stand here at the front and just accept and hear your immediate decision. Let's stand for hymn 240.
Our Father, we thank you for the privilege. Teach us, our Father, how to